Lisa Bevere is a world-renowned speaker, New York Times best-selling author, and the co-founder of Messenger International with her husband, John. She's also a Sicilian mother of four sons. She's one of our team's favorite speakers and someone my three girls look up to. Lisa is one of the most authentic, passionate, and faith-filled communicators I've ever heard. She's refreshingly real and carries a tremendous authority and wisdom. Lisa is also the only woman on season one of Man Camp. We asked Lisa to come on this podcast because we wanted to hear her perspective on masculinity, what women need from men, and also a woman's perspective on the expectations society puts on men today. She and her husband have also raised four young men who are leaders and love Jesus today. When Lisa's not traveling the globe, you'll find her in Colorado with her four sons, daughters in love, and grandchildren. This is my conversation with Lisa Bevere. The Man Camp podcast is about answering these questions. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be fully alive? How do you live from your heart, and how do you find your purpose? The Man Camp podcast is a journey into the wild, stepping outside of the normal, mundane, and status quo to explore and discover what it means to be a man. Hear the failures, the victories, perspectives, and stories of men who are on the same journey to live life fully alive. You are listening to the Man Camp podcast. Our sponsor for this episode is Kingdom Coffee Roasters. Kingdom is a local coffee shop in Folsom, California. Chances are, if you stop by Kingdom, someone from the Jesus Culture team will be working there or having a meeting. I often call Kingdom Coffee my Cheers. It's a place where everyone knows your name. Oh, and their coffee is amazing. If you know me, you know that I don't use these words lightly and that I take my coffee pretty seriously. Here's some really good news for you. Even if you aren't near Folsom, California, Kingdom Coffee sells their beans online, and if you use our exclusive Man Camp code, you get a 15% discount. Simply go to kingdomcoffeeroasters.com, select your beans, and use the code MANCAMP, and they'll ship your coffee to your door. In advance, I want to say you're welcome. And this is our sponsor for this episode. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the Man Camp podcast. We're honored to have you.
Well, I'm super excited about being on a Man Camp podcast.
Is this the first time you've been on a all-man podcast?
You know, I think it might be, except for whenever I do podcasts with my husband, it is usually all men and then just me, but it wasn't named that.
Right. Well, and we'll talk about this in a bit too. You grew up in a household of all men. You have all boys. They've been getting married, so they're bringing in some extra support, and you have grandkids, I know, as well, but...
No, it's still male dominant. We need one more daughter-in-law to make it an equal balance. But yes, no, I live in a decidedly masculine male world. That is for sure.
I thought you were perfect. I mean, we've adopted you and John. We love you guys here at Jesus Culture in our local church, but also in the greater movement. You've been out at some of our conferences. But this is season one of Man Camp, and you are the only woman on the podcast, not because we don't honor women, we'll bring in more, but we're going after some stuff. But I was thinking, we've got to have Lisa on here. Your perspective is so great. So I just want to say thank you. I'm so excited about this. So here's the first question I want to jump in. I mean, you mentioned this in your family, you raised four boys. I've heard you talk about this a little bit with Havilah Cunnington, and I've seen you post some things on Twitter that I just thought were so great about, from a women's perspective, calling men to lead. And in our culture and society, there's such a battle over identity and what does it look like to be a man and what's the right way, the wrong way to do that. And the first thing I just wanted to ask you is, you raised four incredible young men. I've met most of them, not all of them, and they stand out as just incredible men of character, leaders, next level. What did you tell your boys as they were growing up? Or what was your perspective as a mother raising all boys to say, hey, this is for you and what you've called them to, what it looks like to be a man. And here's your responsibility. Here's what you're called to fight for and contend for.
Well, you know, one of the things I think that shifted everything for me, Zach, was we're first generation Christians. And when John and I found out, oh my gosh, we have this incredible opportunity to build life and build legacy. We sat down together before we had any girls or boys or any kids. And we said, is family important to God? And then we realized it's not just important. It's the ultimate to him. You know, God chose Abraham, it says in the book of Genesis, because, not because he had a lot of kids, not because he had a lot of money. He was in isolation with a barren wife, but God settled on him because he said, I know Abraham will teach his children in my ways. And so when I thought, if that's how God sets up a man who is going to be the beginning of a nation, that's how we want him to set up our family as the beginning of a legacy. And so I had an awareness very early on that my children were an entrustment. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's this book called the Bible, and it's filled with God's word. And God's word wants to be active in my life and in my children's life. And so I just believed it. I just believed that I could actually pray and write things in my journal and say, I am starting a new generation. From this day forward, there is a family who is going to honor God with everything that they do as much as they can. And again, that means that we were weird. Like John and I went through a very weird stage. We were way oversaved. I remember having having to talk John into, is it okay if I buy a dirt devil vacuum cleaner? We're so super strict with our boys. We were kind of ridiculous in the beginning. I remember the first time we watched Star Wars with our boys, which I had kind of pushed the agenda on that. I was like, hey, I think we should watch Star Wars. And John just looked at me afterwards and was like, I am shocked by the lack of discernment in this family. Like, oh my gosh, let's all just go to bed. But I loved that I could actually understand that my children could be covenant children because of the choices of their parents. And so I remember early on God saying, your children are going to inherit one of two things, either your fears or my promises. And so I believed it, and I talked to my children about the promises of God. I spent a ridiculous amount of time putting them to bed every single night, reading to them, singing with them, making them sleep in their armor because I was too tired to put it on in the morning, those kind of things. It was just like this wonder of God's word. And we made a lot of mistakes. The dirt devil, that's probably the least harmful thing that we did. There was a lot of other ridiculous things that John and I did as parents. But I will tell you what we did well is we always modeled repentance. We always, when we messed up, which was, on a regular basis, we would leave the room, come back in, and apologize. And, you have to understand, I'm the only female in a household of five large males. Now three of them are married, and but back then it was like I would have, I'd spin out of control on certain things, and they would all just look at me like, what's wrong with her? And I would be like, it's true. I don't know what's wrong with me. And then, we'd have to, I would always say, okay, guys, I'm really sorry. Shouldn't have spoke disrespectfully to your dad. Or John would say, I shouldn't have talked like that to your mom. And my boys realized that we were going to fight as much as we were going to fight in front of them. Not that we made that a practice, but that we were going to, if we fought in front of them, we were going to actually apologize in front of them. And I think that's built in relational dynamics for them with their wife. And then also understanding you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to pretend to be perfect, but you do have to have a perfect heart that comes back in humility and submission to God's word.
That's so good. And you may have said this to your boys, but kind of here's the next question that kind of comes out of that is, what do you think women need from men to walk in as leaders and family and home and culture? I mean, you're there's so many areas. It's not just family. It's in the church culture, in our culture and society. And I'm sure you had these conversations with your boys, but even broader, as a woman and leader that is equipping the church, what would you, if you could, say that women need from men? Because it seems so mixed in culture and society today. There's so many mixed messages.
Oh, there's so many. I mean, there's so much confusion. You know, I kind of feel really sorry for men right now. I have to be honest with you. It's like they have to be everything and nothing. You know, like, we want you to be our prince, our savior, our rescuer, our hero. We also want you to not be any of that. I mean, it's just very confusing. So, you know, I think that a lot of times the church, and I'm not trying to be mean, but a lot of times the church has not put the right responsibility on men. You know, it's been like, if you have a bad marriage as a woman, you need to submit more. You know, if this is going on, submit more, submit more, submit more. And I think that we haven't had an understanding of what that interaction looks like and what a woman can submit to. So, for example, my husband modeled for my boys a lot of beautiful things. You know, when he married me, I had a suntan and a six pack, and not a beer, but I used to be buff. And he was like, hey, I bet she's going to be an amazing mother. Well, no, I was not. There was nothing in my life that had positioned me for that. I think she's going to be an amazing cook. Are you kidding? I had not cooked at all. I bet she'll be good with money. Ran up credit cards when I was in college. But what John did is he did what Jesus does for all of us. He evoked my beauty. He washed me with the water of the word. He spoke to who I was becoming, not who I had been, not who I was in that moment. And I flourished, because when you are loved well, you do well. And I think sometimes that's better modeled than said. So my husband did that for me, and I did that for my sons. I would tell my boys on a regular basis, hey, you know what? You are princes of the Most High God. You know, when you're looking at a 13, 14, 15-year-old boy who has just smarted off to you, that doesn't feel like it even makes sense. But when it has been woven into them since they were 2 years old, when you sing over them, when you're putting them to bed, when you declare over them the promises of Isaiah 54, when you talk to your kids, and you know, as a man, you talk to your wife, as you say, this is a house that's going to fear God. This is a house that's going to honor God. We're going to have a statute that may look different than other people's house, but we're going to do it. And then, you know, I think a lot of times men feel like, I don't know if I can do that. I don't think I can lead a Bible study for my family. I think that just sounds like so much stress. But see, it's not supposed to be inorganic. It's supposed to be organic. It's supposed to be natural. You know, and I've had people say, oh, your family, it must be amazing being married to John Bevere. I bet he does devotions all the time. And I said, you know what? We don't do devotions, but we are devoted.
Right.
So that is a natural thing at the dinner table. As something comes up, you know, we pray. But if I had to make John be a leader the way I thought he should be a leader, then he wouldn't be leading as a man. He'd be leading as a woman. And so I actually had to learn that, like, you know, for example, I think every mother has gone through this. The husband comes home. The kids have been crazy. I was like, beat them all. They have all been crazy all day. And then if he takes them out of the room, I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Just talk nicely to them. You know, so I don't want to be like, okay, what are you saying? You know, and so I had to learn that dads parent in one way and moms parent in another way. And I remember the day that John came to me and said, Lisa, I love you, but I'm going to be the leader in this house.
Wow.
And I said, thank God. Thank God. Because I'm trying to be the leader and I don't know how to be that leader. I only know how to be a co-leader with you. And so a lot of times women they're afraid. They're afraid to position that man into a leadership position. And I remember God speaking to John, like, very early on, he said to me, Lisa, when you treat your husband like he's a little boy, he's going to act like a little boy.
Wow.
And he said, that's all he's known. That's all he's known is a mother. And he said, you have to pull that leader out of him and speak to that leader. And he said, you've got to learn what it is to be a wife. To be a wife is to actually pull that leadership thing out and, you know, and defer, say, hey, listen, this is what I'm like, let's talk about this. We've got a decision to make. Here's my input. And then your husband gives his input and then say, you know what, either way, you've heard me. And I think every woman wants to be heard, but every man wants to be trusted and respected. And so I think if you create an atmosphere where the husband can hear the wife and the wife truly knows that she's actually heard and they can make that decision with input from both sides. My husband always draws a circle and says, there's X's on Lisa's side, X's on my side. Now that we're together, we got to pull on both of those sides of that because we're one. You know, I could make decisions independent, but God actually, when you get married, makes you have to be dependent on one another to make good decisions. There's some areas in our marriage that I just will make a poor decision. I'm like, I don't even know. I'm not even informed. You just do that. There's other areas in our marriage where John's like, I'm ill-informed. You just do that. So I think sitting down as a couple and saying, I feel really confident that you have a strength in this area. And I want to just let you know, I trust you in that. So if you can ask me input, I'll just turn it over to you after that. Some women are better at finances than the men are, you know, so it's not always this, the men have to always do this and the women have to always do that as the couple sits down. And, you know, the man is ultimately the leader, but he's supposed to lead like Jesus leads, which means he's going to lead thinking on my behalf. What's going to grow Lisa? What's going to grow the children? What's going to grow our family? What's going to honor God? But right now, I think leadership has been so distorted to leadership serves itself. And so if leadership is truly as Jesus talks about, that the husband is to love his wife as Christ loves the church, well, gives his life up for it, wash her with the word, evoke her beauty, you know, call forth her destiny. But right now, a lot of times submission is a control thing. It's like the husband controls the wife. He gets his life from the wife. The wife is his servant. That's all she is. But that's not what submission is. Submission means under assignment. And we have to decide what is our assignment. And you go back to the book of Genesis, and it's to be fruitful and multiply, to have dominion, which is to exercise influence on behalf of one another and on behalf of our families.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned something when John said, I'm going to lead in this family, you're like, there wasn't a resistance because he was leading like Jesus. There was a, oh, thank goodness. I have three girls. So our household is the opposite of yours, you know.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons I respect you in Jesus culture and in my own family. I want to raise powerful women that are confident and leading. And so in culture, I think there's this kind of tension of the submission has been overused in the church and not like Jesus saying. So as a woman, what is the negative effect if there is a lack of leadership from men in a family, in culture and society? Obviously, the context is leading like Jesus, but I think a lot of men are just passive and disengaged at home. And
they're afraid.
Yeah.
They're afraid to make mistakes. And they're afraid to lead wrong. So, I mean, I can just tell a super embarrassing story about me about 3.5 years into my marriage. You know, John was really hungry to be in the ministry and honor God with his life. He quit his job working as an engineer and took a huge pay cut and started serving at a church. And I, at that season, I was working as a television producer. We had our first child. And I saw my husband in a very transitional season where he knew something new was happening, but he didn't know it was happening. Then he went from working full-time to working part-time. And I just started to be a stressed out mess. I had a baby. I was nursing, you know, before work, after work, pumping my breasts at work, feeding my baby on my lunch hour. I would ask John, please make sure the garbage goes out. I would come home, the garbage would still be there. I would like ask him to take the baby to daycare on time. It wouldn't happen. And so what happens when a man doesn't lead is a woman will step into that role.
Right.
And so I stepped into the role and started to do all these things and very much with the tone of being John's mom, like do this, don't do this, do this. We'd have decisions and he'd say, hey, what do you think we should do? And I say, I think we need to do choice A. And he'd be like, yeah, I think I'll do choice B. And I'd be like, why would you even ask me if you're not going to do it? And then he'd do choice B and it would be wrong. And I would follow him around and I would say, you do remember I told you to do choice A. You do remember I told you not to do B. And what was I doing? I was right, but I was completely wrong. I was demeaning him. And what I watched my husband do is he pulled away from me and he moved in closer to his friends. He started going to his friends with counsel. He started going to the people that were building up his life. And meanwhile, Zach, I'm getting more and more tension. I felt like my shoulders were attached to my ears. I remember I would come home from work and I was get in the bathtub and just submerge my entire body where only my nose was above the water. And my husband came in and saw me. He said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to relax. I'm trying to relax. And he said, Lisa, why don't you just break? And I was like, break? Do you understand what happens if I break? Everything's going to fall apart. I am the only one holding it all together. And you know, Zach, I felt that way.
Wow.
But it wasn't true. It wasn't true. And so then I remembered the baths weren't working. So I got a shower massage and I thought, I'm going to beat my shoulders back down. You know, nursing mom, traveling, working as a TV producer, high stress. And I'm in the shower. And I remember God asked me a question. He said, you don't think John is a very good head of this household, do you? And I said, I know he's not. And he said, you think you can do it better. And I said, I know I can. And he said, I've made you the head of the household. He said, it's a yoke to you, Lisa, but it's a mantle to John. Throw it off. And I said, wait a minute. If I throw it off, the garbage isn't going out. If I throw it off. And again, I'm my husband would say these exact same things. He said, John likes you doing all this. And he said, he will never take it from you. You're going to have to lay it down. And then Zach, I don't know if the Holy Spirit's ever done this for you, but it was like I saw a review of all the times I thought I had been so funny and so smart. And I saw it for what it really was, demeaning and dishonoring. And I started to cry. And I ran out of the shower. I remember just had my bath towel wrapped around me. And I looked at my husband and I just started crying. And I said, I am so, so sorry. I said, I have thought submission means that if I agree with you, I go along.
Mm.
I said, and if I didn't, I fought you with everything in me. John, I will quit my job tomorrow. I want to be one with you again. And John looked at me and he said, Lisa, I don't think you need to quit your job, but I do think you need to quit thinking you're the source. And it's a big difference between thinking you're the source and knowing God's the source. And remember, we joined hands and we said, God, we want to be one again. And, you know, I felt like nothing that was important to me was important to John. And, you know, there's that old saying that women want to be loved and men wanted to be respected. Well, I almost just wanted to be in control, Zach, because I was afraid. I was afraid because of things that happened with my dad. My parents were divorced. My dad had affairs. That, you know, I was afraid if I was not in control, then I would be at risk. And I think a lot of women have been sent that message by either what they grew up with or what the culture has constantly said to them. If you are not in control, you are at risk. And so I remember we prayed and it was crazy. It was like now that there was not this tension between John and I watched my husband begin to care about things that were important to me. Like we had a baby, we lived in an apartment, we didn't have a washer and dryer. You know what that would look like.
Yeah.
You know, and I came home from work one day and I remember he said, hey, could you get something out of the closet for me? And I thought, you know, buddy, I've been working full time. I just picked up the baby from daycare. You get it out of the closet. And I thought, Nope. This is a new me. This is a new me. I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to be loving. And I walked over, opened up the closet, and there was a washer and dryer. He had totally surprised me. And I saw the promotion of the Lord go on my husband when I stopped trying to be his mother. He went from a boy to a man. And you know, I know that's a principle. And I know that, hey, maybe I ended up with something, you know, amazing faster than most women. But the truth is, it was a process. It was a long process. It was a breaking process. And, you know, I think that when people make a covenant, God honors the covenant thing. Because I remember when the shower, I said, God, I don't know how to submit to John because I don't trust him. And God said, submission is not about trusting John. Submission is about trusting me.
Wow.
And, you know, again, I'm not talking about women in at-risk situations.
Totally.
Or abuse. I'm just talking, you got to have input from both, but a leader in a particular area. And that does, again, like I said before, the man doesn't have to be the leader in every single area, but he and the wife together need to say, this is where I'm going to lead. This is where you're going to lead. Like, you know, hey, I like my husband doesn't lead over the groceries. Right. He doesn't tell me what to buy with groceries. he doesn't lead over my wardrobe. He doesn't even tell me what to preach on. He doesn't do that. He empowers me in the areas where he knows that God has gifted me. And I honor and empower him to lead in the areas where I know that God has gifted John.
Lisa, I want to ask you two questions. One's practical and one's, I think just from your perspective, what are some of the lies that culture is communicating women need from men that is putting an expectation that is out of alignment with everything you're talking about for men leading, and not just in the home and culture and society, but it's definitely out there, whether it's in media or whatever, that there's these lies that are communicating something that women need that are actually maybe not the based on what God is saying.
Well, I think that there's a lie that men have to be perfect. They have to be saviors. They have to be everything. And nobody is that but Jesus. There's definitely that lie. And of course, we see it in all the entertainment. We see it in you know, everything in the media. And there are horrible men, but there's also horrible women. And when our culture starts to say things like toxic masculinity, there's that can be very misleading. Yes, there's toxic things that masculine people can do, but there's toxic things women can do. So I think that we need to begin to honor what is God-given. I do know it's hard right now for men to be male because it's almost like they're shamed for everything that they were created to do. Leading, providing. I don't need you to provide. I'll provide for myself. I don't need you to lead. I'll make my own decisions. You know, and then also women using men as the scapegoat for every bad thing. You know, now there's bad things that men have done, but again, bad things women can do. So let's not identify genders by their lowest place. Let's speak to their higher thing they can be. And so I think that you know, women need to understand that men are actually afraid right now. They're overwhelmed. They're afraid. I'm working on a book right now, Zach, and, you know, I've always written books that are big, books that just advocate women, finding their voice, da, 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 da. And I hit a wall, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, Lisa, it's not the princess at risk right now. It's the prince.
Wow.
And he said, the princess has forgotten that I gave her a voice to take what was not good and make it good. And then I started to look up all the stats of the men, you know, trapped in a virtual reality. Yes, it's their choice, but it's like there's more excitement, there's more rescue, there's more adventure in their virtual reality than their actual reality. They're trapped in pornography. They're trapped in just hiding because they feel shame about their desires or their, you know, that they'd want to love somebody and protect them and provide for them. And so I think they're just opting out. They're not graduating as much as women when it looks undergrad and with masters. And so there's a lot of gender confusion right now. And then there's a lot of households that are single moms, and single moms are heroes, but every young man wants a male to identify with as well. And so if we don't, as the church, make sure that the young men coming up have a father figure, even if it's just like, hey, you're a single mom, you're a hero, we're going to come alongside you, we're going to help you, we're going to have men that come around, or we're going to invite you over to our house when we do stuff, or invite your son over to our house or your daughter over to our house to see what fathers look like. You know, I think that's a huge need. There's a bunch of gender assignments that are not God assignments.
Yeah.
On both men and women right now.
What would you say are just practical things that men can do to lead? And you were giving great examples between you and John in your marriage, and
yeah,
as you walk this out, but like there's men listening to this and like sure. leaving this, what's a practical thing or a handful of things that they can do?
It's really helped me when my husband has been honest and vulnerable with me.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that men value that women don't value. So when my husband has said things like, hey, I really feel good about my ability to provide. And if you don't see that as something you can, you know, like celebrate or whatever, it really bothers me. Or if he says, hey, you know, I know you don't mean to, but when you talk to me like that, it just makes me want to shut down. And actually with the men, I think when John has really shared his heart with me, it's been really helpful. And I think sometimes men feel very at risk with that. So they don't, women are much quicker to be able to express what they're feeling and why, where I think a lot of men are told, well, you shouldn't feel that way. It's not manly to feel that way. Or as a leader, you shouldn't feel that way. I think that when a man can say, hey, I just want to share some of the challenges I'm having as your husband, or as a father, or as a son, these are some challenges I'm having. And I need to be able to talk it through with you. Because sometimes when John would begin to talk through a challenge, I would go into a panic, like my face would panic, and then I would panic. He'd be like, Lisa, I just need to debrief with you. And so then sometimes I would say, so is this a debrief, or is this a like course correct? Like, what's happening right now? And he would say, I just need to talk it through. So I think telling your wife, I need to verbally process something with you. And it may sound crazy when it starts, but I just would rather talk it through with you than somebody else. So let's say when we first started that 10 years ago, that would have been really rough. But now it's really easy, you know, because he's like, I can sense right away. And giving the husband permission to say, okay, I really want to talk to you about that. Like if the wife's like, this is what I learned when I had problems with the kids or whatever, right when we were going to bed at night is when I wanted to talk about it. I was like, and my husband was kind of like, listen, we talk either during the day, you know, we go to bed at night, or we have sex. We do not have deep, meaningful conversations at 10 o'clock at night. So, you know, so having the husband say, I value what you have to say as a wife, and maybe she's been home with the kids all day. Maybe you're both at work. I don't know, but carving out time and making sure those conversations happen is good, because I don't feel bonded with my husband when I just sit next to him and we both watch a movie. He feels bonded with me. I don't. I'm like, we did not bond. We did not bond. Now, if we talk about the movie afterwards, then I'm going to bond. So I think just creating opportunities to have vulnerability and let your wife know what you're struggling, and then tell her what hurts. Like, it hurts me. I think a lot of times women think that only they get hurt.
Wow.
I remember one of our, we have a board that's amazing. It makes us go to a counselor. And he looked at me and he said, Lisa, you think that John doesn't feel things because he doesn't express them. And he said, it's quite possible he feels things actually deeper than you do. And he has to carry them because he doesn't know how to speak it out. And he said, you got to help him. So, you know, maybe the husband could say, I need your help. I need your help to kind of talk through some of this stuff. And, you know, maybe he could offload some of the stuff he doesn't feel strong in the area of leading and ask for some, you know, I need your help with this, or I need your help with that. Or yeah. I don't think that's ever a mistake. It's teamwork.
Yeah. So good. Last question. This has been amazing. This is for just all the guys listening. If you could say anything to the men that are listening, married, single, divorce, whatever category they fall into, what would you encourage them or challenge them in as a woman to the men listening?
You know, I just think the fact that so much that is represented as masculine is under attack is a revelation of something deeper going on. And I would want to celebrate those men that you are here, you're listening to a podcast with a Sicilian random woman on talking about things. And I just want to celebrate you for being godly men, men that are vulnerable, men that are willing to listen and to learn. And be aware of the labels that are trying to diminish, that are trying to contain what I believe that God wants to correct in some areas, but also wants to release in other areas. And so lean into the Spirit of God, lean into the scriptures, and understand that you have incredible power to bless and evoke the beauty in your children and in your wife, and that the enemy wants to shut that down and divide the sexes and make us think that we are one another's enemies, but male and female is a power union, not a power struggle. And the battle of the sexes was corrected when Jesus died on the cross and he began to take back what was stolen and what was lost. And so we need you. We need you to be strong, but not harsh. We need you to be sensitive, but not overly emotional. We need you to not listen to the lies of our culture. We need you to get into the presence of God and be the leaders that Jesus modeled for all of us to be.
That is so good. I love this. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to be on the Man Camp podcast. And I want to just say thank you, just as a man, as a leader that I respect so much, both you and John. Thank you for being such a godly example of a leader that not only steps out in, you know, the ministry, culture, and world, but in family. And as a younger man, I so respect you and John and your family. And I just really want to honor you and thank you for your voice and for how you lead. You're an incredible leader, and I just respect you a lot.
Well, thank you, Zach. We don't think you guys should have to make the same mistakes we've already made.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, for going ahead. I think it's so powerful. And for all the guys that are listening, definitely, Lisa's written several books. Her husband, John, has as well. Actually, John will be on the podcast as well this season. So we get both Bevere's, which is amazing. So until next time, check us out at Man Camp Podcast on Instagram. You can go to the Jesus Culture website, and all of our podcasts in the network are there. You can check those out in other episodes. But until next time, we'll see you. Thanks again for listening to Man Camp. Thanks for listening to the Man Camp podcast. Follow us on Instagram or Twitter at @mancamp_podcast. If you have questions from this episode or previous episodes, send them to mancamp@jesusculture.com. Finally, if you've been impacted by Man Camp, please leave a review for us on iTunes and help us get the word out. Thanks for listening to Man Camp. We'll see you next time.